It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Over the weekend, the Steelers and the city of Pittsburgh lost one of its all-time greats. Jack Butler, an all-pro cornerback who was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame last summer, passed away Saturday morning at the age of 85. He died at UPMC Shadyside after battling the same staph infection that ended his playing career in 1959 after 9 seasons in the NFL. Butler, who lived most of his life in Munhall, retired from the NFL with 52 career interceptions, second most in the NFL at the time. He made 3 All-Pro teams and the NFL's All-Decade team of the 1950s. Just before his Hall of Fame induction last year, Butler was a guest on Essential Pittsburgh. He talked about what it meant to take his place among the greatest professional players in Canton.
I heard about the Hall of Fame. I was never gung-ho about it and things like that. And it would be a big honor and a privilege. I knew that. But I wasn't going to go politic for it. If things happen, they happen. And I went about my own business, did my own things, and I had a hell of a good time doing what I was doing. And now they come along and say, hey, Butler, we're going to put you in the Hall of Fame. And I say, hey, great. I love it. I'm going. I'll be there, and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it.
To hear the entire interview with Jack Butler, you can go to our website at WESA.FM. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and it's time now to bring in our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak. His video blog is called Sportsnet. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
I'm well, thank you. What are your thoughts about the passing of Jack Butler?
Jack Butler, great talent, a greater guy, a real Pittsburgh guy, a native. He played in an era when the Steelers did not have very good teams, but he helped define that team with toughness and grit. He wasn't drafted. He played at St. Bonaventure, and he was recommended to the Steelers by a gentleman named Father Silas, whose name might not mean anything to the listeners, but Father Silas was Dan Rooney. That's Art Rooney's brother, the priest. So they had a connection there, and that's how Jack Butler ended up with the Steelers in training camp. Another story I can tell you about Jack Butler, he was driving home from training camp in the mid-50s with a rookie quarterback. He said, I don't think I'm going to make the team. And he said, you're crazy. They haven't given you a shot yet. And that rookie was John Unitas.
That is a story that will always haunt Steelers fans, that the fact that the Steelers did not keep Johnny Unitas, who was from the area, in fact, but of course made his name with the Baltimore Colts in the NFL. And as you said, and what I think is really interesting about Jack Butler, he was an even greater man than he was a football player, just in terms of the self-deprecating wit and humor that he had, and he was so reluctant to come on the show. He just really wasn't a guy for the spotlight. He wasn't trying to get attention, as you heard in the clip there. Wasn't politicking to get in the Hall of Fame. Is that why he didn't get in immediately? Because here was a guy who had all of the credentials to be inducted, to be voted into the Hall of Fame, and yet it didn't happen until he was 84, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it was an injustice, but then again, Jack Butler was never one to talk about himself. It was about the team. It was about the successes and the failures of the team. So he wouldn't go out and blow his own horn. And played in a, let's face it, in the 50s, Pittsburgh was a smaller market, hadn't won anything, was kind of like off the radar in pro football. But the other thing I'll tell you about Jack Butler was what a tremendous family. His legacy lives on with the family that he raised, and boy, they're all super people. So he was going to be a school teacher. He was going to make $3,400 to teach school, and the Steelers offered him a contract, and he was making a couple hundred more to play football. So he said, what the heck, and made the team as a defensive end of all things at 6'1", 200 pounds. A cornerback got hurt during the season. They said, Butler, we need you to play defensive back. He said, I've never played it before. But he did. That's why he had that number 80. It's an unusual number for a cornerback. But, that's Jack Butler. Whatever they needed him to do, he did. And he did it without calling attention to himself and without complaint. So injustice was corrected when they put Jack Butler in the Hall of Fame. That was one of the best days I can remember.
Well, certainly someone who has not flown under the radar, a Pittsburgh athlete anyway, is Sidney Crosby. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Everybody's worried about the Sports Illustrated jinx now. Bob, is there such a thing as a Sports Illustrated cover jinx?
Not after Saturday night. No, no, I don't believe in jinxes and curses and blessings. It's just being on the cover of Madden Football or on the cover of MLB video games. That's just something that to talk about. But I really don't believe that. Even though he's had some injury issues, the last couple of years, I don't think that Sidney Crosby's jinxed in any sense of the word. He's blessed with too much talent to let anything happen to him.
By the way, I'm holding the cover in my hand, and the photo is of him before he took the puck in the jaw and lost all the teeth. And so, in case you're wondering about that when you buy the issue, obviously they had this in mind a while back. With regard to the article itself, one of the things they try to answer is why so many people outside of Pittsburgh and Canada hate Sidney Crosby. The fans in America, in the United States, don't seem to want to give him the due that they gave Wayne Gretzky or even Mario Lemieux, for that matter. Why is that, Bob?
Well, first of all, take a look at that picture and look into those eyes. Is that somebody you want to play hockey against? That tells you everything you need to know about his intensity. Sidney Crosby has dealt with this since he was 7 years old. He gave his first newspaper interview. He was just so much better than the kids he was playing against, so they always bumped him up. And even when he was bumped up, he was 10, playing against 13-year-olds, he was better than them. There's something to be said for when somebody is so good that you're going to call it jealousy, call it envy, call it whatever you want. They're going to look for flaws, and it's beyond me. I mean, I covered this young man in his rookie season. He was 18 years old, and I said, this kid's too good to be true, and I kept looking for things. He shows up every day, and he works harder than anybody else. He's the ultimate grinder, which I think is the greatest compliment you can pay the guy. And look what he's done. He broke Mario Lemieux's rookie scoring record. He's got a youngest captain in the NHL. He won a cup. People look for things and even make up things to try to take away from him. But I just think that's a bad rap all the way around. Sidney Crosby's a blessing.
Very quickly, because we're just about out of time, but we've been waiting to hear any minute now when the Penguins' next series starts. Have they announced that yet?
No, I haven't heard. I keep waiting. This next series is going to be different from the Islanders, but they better bring the Motrin. This is going to be a hitting series. This is going to be, and it's a different kind of a challenge because Ottawa has a better goalie, I think, but maybe a better matchup for the Penguins all the way around.
All right. Well, Bob Dvorak is our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus, and you can check out his video blog, Sports and That, and his Motrin and all of that. Bob, we would hope we wanted to get into a discussion of whether Pittsburgh's a soccer town. Events got in the way. We'll pick up that discussion about the Riverhounds next week. Thank you, sir.
We can do that, Paul. Thank you.
Next Tuesday, 90.5 WESA, actually tomorrow, 90.5 WESA, is hosting a forum with the mayoral candidates at our studios at 67 Bedford Square. Doors open at 6:30, and the forum will begin at 7. The event will be broadcast on Wednesday at 9 a.m. with follow-up analysis at noon on Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.